We want to, first of all, welcome our visitors. We have a number of congregation that is out of town or not able to come, so you've come and filled a little place, and we just want to extend a real welcome to you. We desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word this morning. We've had started a little series of messages a few weeks ago on the doctrine of giving. So I'm going to give just a little review of the two previous messages on giving. First of all, we started out with a scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and part of 17, and it says, "The word of the Lord is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly or completely furnished or equipped unto all good works." And giving has to do with our good works. The first doctrine of giving, doctrine simply meaning the teaching of giving of the Word of God, was on the example of giving of God, God being one that gave his only begotten Son, and he freely gave him, and he did it selflessly, and that term may be used further along as we go. The second example was Christ giving his entire life, giving his life's blood, giving us, you and me, salvation. He said that he was willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. He also was willing for you and me to receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted to give us that Spirit that was of himself. And that was the first doctrine, him being the first example to you and me of giving. And the second message or the second doctrinal teaching was on monetary giving. It's a subject that we rarely like to preach on because it sounds like the minister is trying to have his hand out. And we try to give the scriptures of how that we don't do this for money. We do this as a work unto the Lord, a calling from the Lord. A minister should never be hired. It tells us what will happen to a hireling. A hireling will not stay with the sheep. A hireling will leave when the wolf comes, so to speak. But it also went on and it gave the doctrine of tithing. It gave of the Old Testament. We gave the doctrine of the New Testament, the New Testament being very similar to the Old Testament. For in the Old Testament, it was provided for those who did not have a lot to give. A man is to give according to what he has, not according to what he doesn't have. And so the scripture also tells us that God loves a cheerful giver and that he wants you and me to freely give, to purposely forgive. The scripture says this, to give with a purpose and not grudgingly or of necessity. That was scripture. So that's just a few of the thoughts that were already presented in the two previous messages. So we're down to the third message on the doctrine of giving. And once again, we want to say that the word of the Lord is our instruction in righteousness. Over in Acts, the 20th chapter, we want to begin with the 25th, the 35th verse, I believe. Desire you to pray that the Lord will bless his word, because that's what we're here for, is to hear out of his word and to be able to go and live his word in our lives, in our everyday life. The 35th chapter ends with something that, I mean the 35th verse, I'm sorry, ends with something that Jesus said. So I want to read that part first. And it says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now that's really our thought, but I want to also include in this passage right here something that was brought out in the message, the previous message, concerning ministers and we brought it out how that Nehemiah went to the temple or to the, and he saw that the priest and the singers were out in the field doing their work and supporting themselves when God's law provided for their total support that they work in the temple. And so we made some comments concerning that and the Church of God down through the years. But this week the Lord opened up something else to my mind that we need to give the other side of the coin. So I'm going to insert this here before we go on with the message. In this particular passage, Paul is saying something about himself working with his own hands. And this is what it said. If you look up to verse 32, I believe, verse 33, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." And then it says in 35, the first part, "I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring or so working, ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words that Jesus said." And then he said it. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now I'm going to give you a number of scriptures, not reading them, but if you want to write them down, you can check them out of what Paul did to support himself. And you will find this in Acts 18 and verse, I don't have the verse written down on that one, but 20 and 34 and 28 and 30, of which we just read, 1 Corinthians 9:15, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 9, and 2 Thessalonians 3 and 8. Each one of those verses tell of how Paul supported himself and did not have his hand out, so to speak, as a minister being supported by the Church of God. So that's the other side of the coin. The other one side was of the Old Testament, where God ordained for the priest and for the singers to be supported and not go to the field and work, so to speak. So I just wanted to insert that as a little correction, if you will, concerning the ministers. And I believe that God wants our ministers to be supported financially, but I believe that they also have an obligation to support themselves. So our thought is it's more blessed to give than to receive. Our thought this morning is concerning the sacrificial life. We're moving away now from financial giving, and we want to talk about the giving of our life. And I would like someone to get me a songbook. I failed to bring one up. There were two songs that came to my mind that I felt like the Lord wanted us to present this morning. And the first song is 245 in our hymnal. And I'm going to look at verse 1 and the chorus. So the title of this song is Consecration. Now keep in mind we're talking about the sacrificial life. What is a sacrificial life? A sacrificial life is a selfless life. We're living in a very selfish world. People think about themselves more than anybody else. That's the world we're living in. The sacrificial life is a life, according to the scriptures, of preferring one another or somebody else to our own life. The third definition we're going to use is the sacrificial life is a sanctified life. A sanctified life is one that is sanctified unto God, who then turns and uses my life or your life as his hands, as his feet, as his voice. He's no longer walking the earth. His spirit is here with us, guiding us. But when I give my heart and my life, and I make that supreme sacrifice, if you will, and I am sanctified wholly unto the Lord, then I will be doing his service. So that's the definition. And the title of this song is Consecration. So the first verse of this song says, since Jesus gave his life for me. So we need to stop and think about it. That was the first message that we had, that he gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? Question. And then it answers. I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely thine. So when I give myself wholly unto the Lord, I am no longer mine own. I'm no longer, you might say, well, we're still alive, we're still human. Yes, we are. But the Spirit of the Lord is working in us to guide us unto all holiness, see? And then the chorus says, my life, O Lord, I give to thee. And then look at this part. My talents, my time, my all. Have you got talents this morning? Have you got some God-given talents? One of the things that was brought out in the very first message is all of the things God gives us. He gives us all things to enjoy. But he gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us who we are. He has created us. And so we have talents, God-given talents. And he wants us to use those talents to his glory. Yes. For the good of others. Not selfish, not holding it to myself, see? So I give my all. I give to thee my time, my talents, and my all. I serve thee, Lord, thine own to be. And then it says, I'll hear thy faintest call. Did you know the Lord is wanting to call each one of us to a purpose in this life for him? So the next verse will be in 273. And the title of this song is, We Must Be Holy. And I'm looking at verses 3 and 4 and also the chorus here. It says, reason and justice, my debt of love. I've got a debt this morning. You've got a debt to pay this morning. Why? Because he loved you more than you loved him. He loved you first. He loved you when you weren't lovable. When I wasn't lovable, God loved me and he loved you. And so therefore, I've got a debt that I need to pay to the Lord. Demand that this reason and justice demand that I should be body and spirit and all that I have devoted, Lord, to thee. The last verse of that song is, we must be holy as he is pure. For this the Savior died. Now look at it again. Talents and time and all earthly store to God. be sanctified. See our debt of love? We owe him all. Did you know you have nothing that wasn't given to you? You have life. You have breath. You have a mind this morning. You're able to see with your eyes. Most of us here, we're not blind. We can hear. And all of us this morning are able to walk. Do you thank the Lord? Do you say, Lord, I do owe you my life? Amen. Amen. Then the chorus says, holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Now listen to this. Self. Did you know you need to consecrate yourself? Self and possessions. All must be truly given to God alone. Well, you know, it's really not possible for me to just take all that I have and say, here it is, Lord, and then walk away from it. I've still got these. I've got my house. I've got my all of the material things of life I have, and he permits me to have, but he wants me to hold on to those things loosely. Don't make that my life. Amen. To make it greater than what he has allowed in my life. And say, Lord, as you need it, you take it. Are we willing to say that? Is that part of our consecration? I believe that's what he's calling for. He said, I will hear thy faintest call. Lord, I will hear when you say, do this for me or that or whatever his call is. So those are some of our beginning thoughts. And the next thought is from 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And it says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So now that's another call to our lives of living a holy life. We can live a holy life by the grace of God in this age, in this time. Thank the Lord. But he is saying now, I want you to consider everything that you do, consider it to be for my glory. So that's the next thought that we have. And so everything that you and I do or say should be to the glory of God. I want us to keep that in our thoughts this morning. Service unto the Lord. We are to be his servants when we give him our all. The next thought I want to give is the great commandments. Are there some commandments that are a little greater than others according to the word of God? There are. The first commandment is that I am to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And so that the scripture says that is the first and the great commandment. And I want to say, unless you and I find that in our life and we have consecrated to loving God above all, we will not be able to do the second commandment. Because he went on and he said there is another commandment that's very similar. And he said that is for us to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, the scripture says that on these two laws hang the law and the prophets. And what I mean by that, or feel like it means, is that all other principles of the word of God are built on those two commandments, loving God with all my heart and loving my fellow man or my neighbor as I would like to be loved. And then there was a third that wasn't necessarily called the great commandment, but it hinged upon it, and it said the principle is there, and it said, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And then it repeated it again, and it said, for this is the law and the prophets. So how I treat my fellow man, how I view God in my life, and how I want to be treated. You see, none of us wear a t-shirt that tells on it, this is how I want to be treated. But it's how I treat others. That's exactly how you want others to treat you. Have you ever thought of it? Now, I said that those things that we do and those things that we say should be to the glory of God. See? And then we come down to, how do I treat others? How do I speak to others? We want to talk a little bit about that. You might think this is a little bit different or strange, but I'm going to give you four scriptures that we often think of as how God wants us to treat others. And I do believe that it has to do with how we should treat our fellow man. The first scripture says to consider one another. Be considerate. To be considerate of one another, the scripture says, to provoke to love and good works. So how I treat others is going to have a reaction in that person's life, either by how I treated them or talked to them. Whatever I said. Number two, I want to turn to Romans. I didn't write it down, so I'm going to read it. Romans 12 and 10. And it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, good scripture, good instructions. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and then honor preferring one another. The third one is Ephesians 5 and 2. And it says, walk in love as Christ so hath loved us. And the next part says, and hath given himself for us. Now do you see the doctrine of giving? Giving of yourself, the sacrificial life, the consecrated life, the selfless life, the in honor preferring one another, considering one another to provoke something good in another person's life rather than ill. And then verse 4, which I don't have the scripture written down, which is familiar to us all, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So those are the four scriptures I want to present to your minds this morning as we follow on with the principles of these commandments. Oftentimes, as I said, we read these scriptures and we say, oh, that's how I'm to treat my fellow man. I to treat my fellow worker. I am to the man that I meet at Walmart. I am to be these things to him. I'm to be that example. I'm to be that light. And oftentimes, a person can live a double standard. They can be real good to the man out there or the woman out in the world, when in reality, they're lacking at home. So we're addressing these same scriptures and applying it to our home life or our marriage. if it's not happening in your home, what good is it out there? Paul said in one place, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, I may be saying all of the right words, say in the preaching or in the my conduct, my words that I speak to others out there, but maybe I'm a little bit harsh with my companion. Maybe I'm not just being like these scriptures say. I'm not being considerate at home. I'm not provoking the good in my companion or my children. I'm not walking in love in the home as Christ loved us. And as Christ gave himself, see, this is the doctrine of giving. Giving of oneself, the sacrificial life, the consecrated life, the selfless life, and that life of preferring someone else starts at home. You can't go out and do it unless you're doing it here. It's a double life. It's not a consistent life. It's not living that life of Christ. It's living a hypocritical life. Hypocrisy is an ugly word, but to live a hypocritical life hurts those that you should be loving, those that you should be giving to of yourself. And the scripture says all of this, and we want to look into the Word of God. I heard this quote from a book. I didn't read it. Someone told it to me. But I'm going to give it this morning as some thoughts to maybe carry away with you from the service today. It says, you want to serve Christ? Do not get married. What do you think about that? You want to serve Christ? Don't get married. But listen to the last part. To be more like Christ, get married. Why would somebody write a statement like that? Because you are put to the test more in your marriage and in your home than you are out there. We have many different kinds of tests. I know no other way to say it. Joseph, he was tested by his own brethren, wasn't he? He was put to a supreme test. And yet when he came down to the end of his test and he met his brethren again, what did he say? He said, it wasn't you that sent me here. It was God. So if you and I can look at all of the tests of our life and say, God has allowed this test in my life, then we can go to God with our test, see? So, you want to serve Christ? Don't get married. But if you want to be more like Christ, get married. Marriage is ordained of God. He ordered it. He was pleased with it. He still is pleased with it. He wants a man and a wife to live together in harmony. And before you and I that are married get married, oh, aren't we in love? Don't we just think the world is going to be so perfect after we get married? And when we're standing at that altar and that young man is looking at his bride walk down the aisle. I don't know, in the last several years, I've witnessed the grooms shedding some tears. That's good. But that's just the beginning. the test begins from then on. And if God has ordained marriage, just like Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect wherever you are weak. So we want to talk to you a little bit this morning about marriage. And what does the scripture say? Because what I say is not sufficient. But what the word of the Lord says should give us that instruction unto righteousness, that we can have good works. See, that's the purpose of the thought this morning, is to be instructed unto righteousness and have good works in our home and in our marriage. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. I want you to consider this before we proceed. I find this probably one of the most profound scriptures concerning teachings of giving by the man in a marriage. So all of the men here this morning, you may say, well, you're a woman. I'm going to give you the word of God and let you digest it in your life. It says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. Remember what I just said? What Paul said, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. There are people that'll do for others when there's their family, their wife, maybe their children are lacking themselves. That's what this would be talking about. I'm doing for others. There's a little saying that we've heard down through the years about the cobbler. You know what a cobbler is? We don't know about cobblers now. They work on shoes. But at the cobbler, it said his family went barefooted. He was able to make shoes for others, but he didn't take time to make shoes for his own. So this scripture is dealing with something like that. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Does that put a real light on how I'm supposed to be providing for my family? What kind of man, what kind of leader? The scripture plainly tells us that our men are heads or leaders of our homes, our families. God ordained it that way. He said, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. That doesn't change. That does not change. Men are called. Do you hear that faintest call to fill a godly, selfless life? A sacrificial life? A life preferring your wife? Preferring your children? Remember, you can't go out in the world and do it out there if you're not doing it at home first. That's the balance of it all. So we're starting out with a scripture that is very serious. So are we considering others but not our wife or our children? Are we showing honor to others? And brotherly love and kindness. But I'm just irritated with her when I come in from work. And the tone of my voice. Have you ever listened to yourself? Most of the time. Would it be good if we had a recording going on and could play it back and hear the tone of our voice. Did you know the tone of your voice says more than even the words? They may not be real bad words, but that tone says more. It gives a message, and it gives a reaction. It does not provoke to good works and to love, the tone of the voice. Don't we need grace now? Don't we need this power of the Holy Spirit working in our life, that we can be that man of God right in our home? Then we can go out and we can be that man of God out in the world. See, this is what, it's that still small voice that I hear, the faintest call. He's calling for us to be holy. Oh, I'm going to bear everyone's burdens, and I'm going to fulfill the law of Christ. So when I come to church on Wednesday night and I hear everyone's burdens and I leave here and I'm going to really pray for those burdens. Have you first prayed for your wife's burdens? Have you first considered her? Oh, you can bear everyone else's burdens, but first, brethren, bear your wife's burdens. Oh, she's not free. She's not free to walk all over you. God doesn't call her to take advantage of these teachings. We have a teaching for her too. But let's go on. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read several verses there. Yeah, this is a wonderful passage for us, really for us all this morning. And the 5th chapter, we're going to look at verses 25 and 28. And 29 through 33. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as," and now here's an example, "as Christ loved the church." You know, if we would find out how Christ loved the church, if we would allow that to really be focused in our mind, and I understand it and I perceive it, and I'm, it's my example, and I'm going to follow that, I'll tell you what, you'll have your wife eaten out of your hand. You want your wife to just serve you. You know what Sarah called Abraham? Sarah called him Lord. She loved to serve her husband. I want to tell you, in our world, if every man in this world followed this teaching, this would be one of the happiest worlds. No one would want to die. No one would be going to the divorce court, because she would be absolutely eating out of your hand. She would be giving of herself. It would be so easy. She would have no bitterness in her heart when the tone of your voice says this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the word says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." And then what did he do? He gave himself. This is the doctrine of giving. This is the third doctrine of giving. The sacrificing of yourself. Giving up what you want and considering what she may want. The next verse, 28. Very similar. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church." So I ask you this question, those that should be able to answer it. Do you love your own body? Do you love your life? If you do, let that love spill over to your companion, to your wife. Go down now to 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And now here comes the wife. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. This is the plan of God. This is where we are giving one to the other. We're considering each other. We're bearing each other's burdens. We're fulfilling the law of Christ. We're walking in love. We're walking in kindness and brotherly love. Oh, God, help us. Help our homes. Oh, Father, help this to sink down into the hearts today. 1 Peter most of the time, us women feel preached at, because in that same chapter it says for the woman or the wife to submit herself unto her husband. And that is the law of Christ. And that's not always easy. So, you want to serve Christ? Don't get married. If you can't follow the word of God, then don't get married. But if you want to follow Christ, if you want to be more like him, get married. You'll be put to the test. Us women are put to the test to be submissive, to be obedient to the word of God. But like I say, if it's followed in both partners, it works and it's happy. This one's 1 Peter 3:7-10. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you know your prayer life in a marriage is vitally important? There are no successful marriages without it. That's a strong statement, but I believe it. If a man and a woman can't spend some time on their knees together and be agreed in prayer, of what value is it of just daily life? I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come home, I expect a meal on the table. Listen, that's not common today. Oh, let's go out and eat. I want to say to the wives today, learn to cook. Take care of your husband. Have a meal fixed when it's time for him to come home. It's good advice. It's not common in our world. Our financial situations could be greatly improved with less eating out. It absolutely eats away at the pocketbook. You can eat much cheaper at home. Develop a family dinner time, and it takes the wife to do it. taking time to prepare a meal is our duty. It's our duty. Few families today are sitting around the table discussing the events of the day. That used to be what happened. I remember when I was young and we had 5 siblings and my mother and my father, and our house was small. I doubt it was 1,000 square feet. It was 3 bedrooms and 1 bath and a little living room, a little dining room, and a little kitchen, and we ate in the kitchen. And it had a bench at the back of the table, and my brother and my sister and me sat on that bench. My 2 sisters sat on the other side, and mother and daddy on the end, and we ate as a family. We've lost that in our society, but you can recover it. It can be a part of your life if you want it. Give honor. Understand that she is weaker than you. You know what else we have in our society? Most of our women are working 2 income families. Sometimes that has to be. But it is best if it's not. Because the scripture even says for the woman to be the keeper at home. For her to be there and take care of the children and guide the house. This is what God ordained. Lord, help us to go back to the roots of this thing and to the basics and find that if I sacrifice and give of myself, this will work. Do you know what our women of today are trying to do? They're trying to be super women. And it's hard. She goes and she gives 8 hours to a job, and then she comes home and she's tired. The laundry has to be done. The children have to be fed. And you just list it all. I want to tell you, a woman can't do it and be happy. She can't live that kind of life and have a right attitude. She can't be cheerful when you come in from work. She can't give you a smile and meet you at the door because she's got her hands and everything else. God has a plan, and if we follow it, it's happiness. Oh, it's still a test for you to be more like Christ. You'll still be having to bear some places, but he'll give you the grace. Now let's read. That your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one on another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That's another thing we've lost in our world, is people just being courteous to one another. Speaking in a kind way and not that tone. Remember, that tone says more than what the words are saying. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Anybody heard any railings in their home? What's the reaction? Railing. If one rails, the other one rails. It's a response. They're not provoking to love and good works when they're railing at each other. But contrarywise, on the other side, blessing. Don't you want blessings in your life? Then give blessings. Speak in a way that her response will be kind. The woman needs to speak in a way that his response will be kind. Contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. We're called to this. That ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life. Anybody here want to love life? And you want to see good days, it says? Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him hate evil and do good and let him seek peace. Where are you going to seek peace? Out there on the job? I'm going to be a peacemaker on the job. What about being a peacemaker at home? That's where it has to start. You can't go be a peacemaker on the job if you haven't been a peacemaker in your family. It says to ensue it. Do you know what that word ensue means? Run after it. Seek for it with all of your heart. Time is getting away. I want to say this to the women now. Proverbs 14 and 1, a very important scripture for our women. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Oh, we're carpenters. Women, we are carpenters of another kind. We build our families. We make the biggest difference in our children than really our husbands. If we are keepers at home and taking care of the family, we'll have more influence on those children. But let me insert this right here. When Daddy comes home, what do you do? Have you bad-mouthed Daddy until the children are also going to bad-mouth Daddy? Or have you encouraged them? It's almost time for Daddy to come home. You get them excited. And maybe he comes and they're the first ones that'll run to Daddy. That's how it should be. Cause your children to look up to their Daddy. Oh, this is a happy home. This is God ordained. So it says that if you're a wise woman, you're going to build your house. But let me tell you, if you're unwise, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You have a choice. You can either build your home up, you can build your family up, or you can destroy it. Either way. And it's seldom anything in between. It's one or the other. So us women, we need to be wise, don't we? I have so many scriptures, I cannot use them all. But I'm going to turn and read to you of the virtuous woman. And Proverbs 31, we all know where it is. It's one of the most beautiful passages for men and women. Because even though this starts out in verse 10 and it says, who can find a virtuous woman? I want to say you could say the same thing for a man. Who can find a virtuous man? Who can find a virtuous woman? God's calling for men and women to be virtuous. It says that their price, not just her price, but their price is far above rubies. The heart of their husband or the heart of the wife doth safely trust in him or her. So that there shall be no need of spoil or ruin. She will do him good. He will do her good. We're talking about the sacrificial life of giving. The doctrine of giving yourself first to your family. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter for the sake of time. I'm going to skip down to verse 15, because these are the scriptures, these are the verses that speak about giving. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. I want to tell you, we are living in a lazy world. Very, very few are eager to get up while it's still night. And I'm not saying that we all have to get up in the middle of the night to prepare for the next day. But I told this recently in another message that was had to do with when our couple over here got married. My husband had a job that they would call him in to come in early, overtime, and have to get up at 3:00 in the morning. And I would get up with him every time. I cooked his breakfast, I packed his lunch, and I wasn't some raving beauty at that time of the morning, but I saw him at the door and I kissed him goodbye. I was still there when he came home in the evening. I want to tell you, it's a sacrifice. I went back to bed, yes. That's where our women need to be energetic, to make sure that they are taking care of their men. My mother, and I've said this too, my mother said to us girls, you better take care of your man. There's somebody else around the corner that will. And that's a true statement. Women, we have a real duty, an obligation to take care of our men. So, she's not lazy. She takes care of her household. The next scripture, verse 27. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I want to tell you, we're in an idle world. We're in such a lazy world, and people are so caught up with the internet. Oh, now I've really touched a nerve. But I want to tell you, you can be on Facebook and lose an hour before you know it. You can. That's the bread of idleness. And you have totally wasted an hour. Oh, but I like to keep track of my friends. I want to tell you, it would pay us to just quit Facebook and go back to a normal life, and not eat the bread of idleness. But I want to say, the men should not be eating the bread of idleness either. 27, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now let me ask you this, have you praised your wife? When she prepared a meal, when you came home and the house was in order, oh, I want to tell you, when we have little children, you're not always going to have your house in order. The toys are going to be everywhere. But what I would want to do, and I encourage us to do, is provide a haven for that man to come home to. And he will praise you. And brethren, remember to praise them. Remember to say, thank you, honey, for that good meal. Thank you, honey, that my socks are in my drawer. I remember one time reading this story. It's supposed to be true. This couple had decided to get a divorce. But before they did, they decided we're going to sit down at the table and at least write, I can't remember how many, maybe 5 or 6, 10 things that is good about you. And the man sat down and he couldn't think of anything. And then all of a sudden he remembered, somehow, magically, my socks were always in my drawer. Wasn't magic. She did it. And after he thought of that, he began to think of other things. And she did too, and they didn't get a divorce. They worked out their problems. Oh, you're going to have problems. God is able to help us. So praise her. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. What kind of beauty do us women need? Painted faces? I want to tell you, it fades. You have to wash it off before you go to bed, and when you get up in the morning, that's what you really look like. It is. Do you know what they're coming out with? And I say this because I know someone in my family that's doing it, and it hurts to see it happen. They have now come out with permanent makeup. They don't have to wash it off. And I saw an advertisement of it, and they go like this, trying to get the stuff off their eyebrows, and then they put their hand out, and, you know, it's permanent. Now, I don't know what they're going to look like when they're 60, but they don't look too good now. Let us be natural. Let us be natural, because then they won't be so shocked when you wake up in the morning. That's what you really look like, see? So, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord. That's our secret, sisters. Fear the Lord. Learn to get a hold of God. Learn to pray. Learn to get a hold of grace. The one that has the fear of the Lord, she shall be praised. And then verse 31 says, give her of the fruit of her hands, of her giving. It's worth it. Sacrifice yourself. Be selfless. Be sanctified. Give of yourself. And then it says, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Oh, you may not always have praise. But if you've done it, we read the scripture. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you're doing it as unto God, there is a reward. He will help you. This is our little message this morning. This is the doctrine, the third doctrine on giving. There's still one more. Maybe next Sunday we'll have another one. Let's pray for one another that the Spirit of the Lord will bless our homes and our marriages and our children. Pray for me.